So there's a word I like a lot, and that word is potential. Now, sometimes I admit I'm a person who focuses too much on the potential and not so much on the reality that's good at the present time. And maybe I'll preach about that sometime, but that's not what today's sermon is about. Today's sermon is about how we have great potential because of this amazing reality. We were made in the image of God. We were made by God to be a little bit like God. And that is an unbelievable blessing. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter. We are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The first chapter of Genesis, if you read the whole thing, and it's really only 31 verses long, it's not that long. If you read the entire first chapter of Genesis, it's a lot like a poem. It's a poem of creation. There's a rhythm to it. There's words that are repeated over and over. The words are repeated almost like we repeat the chorus of a song or some of the hymns that we sometimes sing here at church. In this poem of creation, we see God bringing into being all that is and bringing into being the matter that is going to be created and turned into all that will ever be. The poem goes through 6 days of creation, and the climax of the poem is reached on the sixth day of creation. On the sixth day of creation, all the land animals, the creatures that crawl on the ground and our pets and the wildlife that we see around us, all of them are brought into being. And God reminds us that all of them are good, even though I will admit I don't much like mosquitoes or chiggers. And then God does something even more amazing than creating these animals. I'm reading from the translation, the Common English Bible. And this is what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them. Male and female, God created them. And after God has finished all of creation with the inclusion of human beings, God says something interesting. When God created the animals, God said it was good. But when everything is done, including human beings, God says creation is not only good, the way the Common English Bible translates it is it was supremely good. The addition of humanity to creation was to help creation be even better than it already was, for we humans were made in God's own image. For the next several weeks here in church, we're going to talk about a concept called spiritual gifts. And this is the concept and the idea that God's Holy Spirit gifts each and every individual with one or more gifts that allow us to be a blessing to each other, to draw closer to God, to serve each other, and to help other people know about the love of God. Every human being receives a spiritual gift of some kind, no matter their age, no matter anything else about them. Now, the idea of spiritual gifts was talked about frequently in the New Testament of the Bible by a few different authors in the New Testament. But the idea of being gifted by God is far older than the New Testament. It goes back to the very beginning, literally the first chapter of the Bible. The ideas of the New Testament weren't a new creation. They build on what God had been doing through human beings for thousands of years, and that takes us back to Genesis 1. The point is not whether you think the world was created in 6 24-hour days or not, and unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, Christians have been debating that one for a long time. The point is, regardless of what you think about that, Christians of all types have found it powerful that unique, perhaps amongst all other creatures that God created, we are in the image of God. And we are similar to God in ways no other creatures are. Now, to be in the image of God does not mean that God is a man sitting up in the sky with a long beard. Or that God is a woman sitting up in the sky with long gray hair. I've seen both images. God is not just a person up in the heavens somewhere. We often think of God as a person because that's our frame of reference, but we should remember that God is greater than just the form of a human being. A Greek philosopher, Xenophanes, 500 years before Jesus came to preach and teach to us, wrote the following. He said, "If cattle or horses or lions had hands and could draw and could sculpt like men, then horses would draw their gods like horses and cattle like cattle, and each would shape the bodies of gods in the likeness, each kind of their own." We often can get trapped into thinking, oh, God is exactly like us. No, God is greater than us. But in God's greatness and in God's love, God made us a little bit like God. Not in the fact that we have five fingers or five toes or something like that, but rather that God gave us some of the abilities that God has. The passage says that we are made like God. We are in God's own image, male and female. In other words, it's not something about our physical nature that makes us like God. It doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter how you talk. It doesn't matter how well your body works. It doesn't matter who you love. It doesn't matter what chromosome arrangement you have. God has made you in the image of God. It's not tied to being a physical human being. It's tied to having the potential to have our lives transformed by Jesus Christ and to be and do some of the amazing things that God does. Kind of going back to some of what I touched on in the children's sermon, I love to watch kids play because kids make something new when they play. They come up with new stories that they act out as they play dress-up, or a little bit older child might write down a new story, or they come up with a new picture out of their mind, or they make a new song, or they build something brand new with their Legos that no one's ever built before, at least not exactly that way. Children have boundless creativity, and they're constantly making new things. And in that sense, they remind us how we're all like God, because one of the ways we are truly like God is God gave us the ability to create and to create good things. Now, we can't create matter out of nothing like God did when God brought the world into creation. But what we can do is God has given us the ability to use our minds and use our hands and use anything else and make something new that is beneficial to this world. But we have to use this ability to create carefully. Because like so many things about humans, it can either be done, we can either create something that is profoundly good and a blessing, or we can create something that's profoundly bad and that hurts others. But God says, if you let my love into your hearts, if you let me guide you, I will show you ways that every day you can create something that makes this world a little bit better. And I don't just mean making something physical. We can create words that are blessings to people. We can create comfort and actions that are helpful to people. Each day we can bring into being something new and wonderful. And the second way that we are like God is even more fundamental and even more powerful and even more wonderful, at least maybe. God loves. God loves all of existence. God loves each sparrow on the wing more than any human can love another person. That is how amazingly loving and good God is. So I want to remind you of something we all need to remember. God loves you. God loves you. God, out of love, brought creation into being, and God has shared with us that amazing ability to love. To be able to form healthy, wonderful, loving relationships with others. God is fundamentally a loving entity. As 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, the person who doesn't love doesn't know God because God is love. God, above all else, desires loving relationships with us. And the same is true of we humans. If a person is emotionally healthy, they want to love others and they want to be loved. Now, we won't all live that out in the same way. We're not all called to the same kinds of relationships. But the point is, we were made in the image of God. We are made to love. And without love, we cannot thrive. A young child needs food and water and shelter, of course, but they literally will not thrive. They will practically wither and die without love. And the same is true for all people. God made us to be in relationship with God and with others, made us to love. We won't all create the same way. We won't all love the same way, and we don't need to be exactly the same. Everyone here was made in the image of God, but we're not all called to the same things. God made some people to be mechanics, and some people to be teachers, and some people to be nurses, and some people to be pastors, some people to be chefs, and the list could go on and on and on. And God did not prioritize, these are the people that are most in my image and are better than everyone else. No, rather, there are what, 6 billion plus people on this globe, and God has gifted each and every one of us, made us all in God's image, and called each and every one of us to something. We have limitations. We will never be exactly like God. We can't love all other 6 billion people on this planet the way God can. But what we can do is use the ways that God has made us in God's own image to be in relationship with God and to be a blessing to those around us. So I say to you all, beloved children of God, you are of profound worth because you have been made in God's own image. God has made you for a loving relationship, and God has made you to help God be a co-creator of a better world. To be in the image of God is to have the potential and the ability to bless others. So I invite you this week to ponder how, guided by Jesus Christ, God's Word in the flesh, we can all create something to the benefit of those around us. How we can all love God more deeply. How we can help God create a better world using the potential that God gave us because we are made in God's own image. Let us live out who God made us to be, guided by our Savior and our teacher, Jesus Christ. May it be so. Amen.